I've been thinking a lot again about the cell phone tower behind Safeway. There is no moral reason, by the way, not to take out every cell phone tower you see. And I see now, by the way, cell phone towers kill between 5 and 50 million migratory songbirds per year. Also, the asshole at the next table can talk about his latest stock deal while you're trying to eat. Anyway, I've been thinking a lot again about the cell phone tower behind Safeway, and I see now how these different approaches manifest in this one small place. The cell phone tower needs to come down. It is contiguous on two sides with abandoned parking lots. Those lots need to come up. Gardens can bloom in their place. We could even do our work side by side. I don't know if that has anything to do with your question.
But it sounded.
But if it doesn't, it should. What, you want me to respond to it too?
If you want, I mean.
I don't really think between what I've said before and the fact that there's nothing there I disagree with that I'd have much to add to it, actually.
Yeah. I could, I thought of, like, while stuff was happening, kind of a better premise to go on, right? As an example, what I was thinking about. I was thinking about, like, what I think is the most revolutionary organization of modern history in the United States as a Black Panther Party. And, like, when I say most revolutionary, most effective revolutionary organization.
Right.
And I kind of feel that the failure of the, like, Black Panthers and of revolutionary intercommunalism or Black nationalism or whatever, kind of lends itself, like, maybe also on the state a lot, but also on the backs of white radicals. And what I was thinking about was that as revolutionary struggle and SDS and essentially the failure of white radicalism as activism to create a revolutionary struggle to support the Black Panthers. And that's kind of what I meant when I was
I think that was
well.
In there where you don't necessarily do this work, but you're obligated to support those who do, and vice versa. I mean, there's no purity in armed struggle.
Oh, definitely.
Okay, but there's no purity in pacifism either. There's a purity in a victory that feeds starving children and prevents the culminating rape of the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's where the purity is. Now, the question is how you get there, and that's Malcolm X. By any means necessary. I could add available, but you make the availability, so it's the necessary part that prevails. She just voted again.
I think she has a question.
You got a question?
So are you.
Okay, then.
Any more questions? How are we doing for time, by the way?
Yeah, we got one. It's running out, but we got a few minutes yet if there's anything left.
Are we? Earlier, Derek mentioned violence going down. Is that written already in one of your books?
That's in the new book,
the 1300 pager.
Yeah. All right. One of the things they do in that book, one of the things they do in the new book that I'm really proud of is that since the first rule of propaganda is if you can slide your premises by people, you've got them. An example of that would be you hear some talking heads say, "How can we make the economy grow?" Premise one: we want the economy to. How can we make the U.S. economy grow? He says. Premise one: we want the U.S. economy to grow. Premise two: we want the U.S. economy to exist. Premise three, who the hell's we? And
that's a really serious question.
Yeah, it's a huge question. Well, we'll talk about that in a second. So one of the things I do in the new book is I try to lay out the premises I lay out the premises in boldface so that people can agree or disagree with them. Because if you disagree with my premises, my arguments don't matter. And I won't go through the whole thing because there's a ton of them, but first premise, industrial civilization is not, can never be sustainable. Second premise, traditional, I was in a car one time with a friend of mine, and I said, if you could live at any level of technology you wanted, what would it be? And his friend was he's kind of a jerk sometimes, and he said, that's a really stupid question, Derek. You can fantasize whatever you want, but the truth is, there's only one level of technology sustainable, and that's the Stone Age. And we will be there again someday, and the only question is, what's left of the world when we get there? Because any level of technology that requires, I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that any way of living that's based on the use of non-renewable resources ain't going to last. Duh. You know, it takes anybody but a rocket scientist to figure that one out. And by the same token, any way of living that's based on the non-renewable use of so-called renewable resources, because, of course, salmon don't perceive themselves as resources, but we'll use that for shorthand. Any way of life where there are fewer salmon return every year than returned the year before is not sustainable. And so industrial civilization, my favorite first line of any book is Stanley Diamond's In Search of the Primitive, Civilization Originates in Conquest Abroad and Repression at Home.
Could you repeat that again?